Biblical hope is what allows Christians to live at peace with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares with us how to have faith when others fear.
Jesus said, "I'll give you the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the Bible says there's not another name available whereby we must be saved, and that name is not Baptist. That name is the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series, Reasons for Our Hope, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn more about the hope Jesus Christ came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's message, you will be assured that no matter how hopeless your situation may seem, with Christ, there is always hope. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called An Enduring Freedom.
Jesus Christ was not just another man or a good prophet. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was and is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ died there, not for the sins of a few, but he died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And you see, the price that was paid to express this love was the price of the blood of a loving God for the sins of the entire world. Now, I find in talking with people and doing some counseling along the way that people today look for love in a lot of different places, and frankly, a lot of the wrong places. And you see people trying to find relationships and trying to find love in all these different ways. You see things in the mail and on television, and people are looking for friendship and so forth. I saw a classified ad recently that really, really brought that point home. The ad said, "Looking for love." And I read it. It said, "Single female seeks male companionship. I love long walks in the woods, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, fishing trips. Cozy winter nights spent lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me the right way and I'll respond with tender caresses. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work. Kiss me and I'm yours. I'm a sweet, good-looking girl who loves to play. Call 565-2121 and ask for Daisy. The phone number is the ASPCA and I'm an 8-week-old Labrador." Now, some of you guys were writing that number down. I saw it. You're like, "Man, girl that likes to hunt and fish, come on, yes." But you know, that's what the world offers most of the time, a pipe dream. It's a joke. But God says, "I've got something for you that really does satisfy. I've got a love for you that has been demonstrated and that has been proven through time." God's love is personal, and God's love, secondly, is sacrificial. It's a sacrificial love. By the way, true love always sacrifices. You know, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God demonstrates that. He demonstrated his love by sacrificing on the cross. The Bible says in John 19 and verse 15, "But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' And Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' And the chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into the place called the place of the skull," which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ went up on an old rugged cross, and there as his blood was shed, he paid a sacrificial price for the sins of the entire world. My friend, if we would stop this morning and concentrate and contemplate on the fact that Jesus Christ was God's Son dying on the cross for our sin, we would begin to realize how personal and how sacrificial that gift really is. You see, Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Jesus Christ shed his blood in order that our sins might be forgiven. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin." In other words, someone had to pay the price. Yet this someone had to be a sinless someone, someone that was tempted in all points like we are, yet had never sinned. And the only one that could be that person was Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so God gave his Son for the sins of the entire world. He paid the price for our redemption. I want you to ponder the great sacrifice that Americans are making today for the freedoms of others. But then I want you to multiply that in a way that we could never comprehend to understand the great sacrifice that God has made to say to us, "I love you. I want to make it personal for you." And when Jesus Christ came and walked on this earth, he walked here as the God-man. He walked here as the one who in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when he died on the cross, he made the ultimate sacrifice, paying the price for our enduring freedom. I couldn't buy it if I wanted to. You and I couldn't earn it if we wanted to. God has provided it as a free gift of his grace through Jesus Christ. What a great gift. And the price of enduring freedom has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice secondly this morning, the provision of enduring freedom. What does this kind of freedom give us really? In verse 32, it says, "The truth shall make you free." Free from what? What kind of freedom does God want each of us to enjoy? Well, I believe, first of all, he wants us to enjoy the gift of forgiveness. I believe that God wants every one of us to know what grace is all about. It's undeserved favor. To know what forgiveness is all about. He wants to forgive us from our sin. For the Bible says here in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And oh, how we live in a world bound by sin and bound by wickedness today. Sometimes we don't want to see ourselves that way. I realize that. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Folks, the fact of the matter is that all of us fall short of the glory of God. Now, we might compare ourselves to the next guy and go, "Yeah, I'm okay, I'm not as bad as him." But in reality, we all fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes we want to relabel our sin. You know, we don't want to call somebody a thief. We want to say they just were struggling with economic determinism, you know, and going through a hard time. And we don't want to say that it's alcoholism. We want to say it's the disease of alcoholism. We label things in different ways. I remember one time when our kids were a lot younger, my son Larry, he loved being a cowboy. I mean, this kid wore cowboy boots all the time to church and at home and playing. And he slept in his cowboy boots. He wore his cowboy hat all around all the time. And he loved his little cap gun, and he especially loved shooting his sister. That was just a big thing for him, you know. And one day my wife said, she said, "You know, honey, I'm not sure that it's really healthy. He's always shooting at his sister, and he seems to enjoy that just a little too much. I think you need to talk to him about it." I said, "All right, I'll talk to him." So I pulled him aside one day, and he was all decked out in his chaps and boots and his guns and everything. And I said, "Now look, Larry, I want you to, you know, reserve your shooting for, you know, lions and bears and tigers and you know, don't shoot your sister anymore." And so he was nodding, you know, right there with me, and I was kind of happy about our little father-son chat. I went around the corner to tell Terry about how the talk went, and right as I was turning around the corner, I heard Larry say to our daughter Danielle, "Danielle, you're a lion. Bang, bang." Now that's how human nature works, you know. We will rationalize that, hey, I do some stuff, but not like that guy's stuff. And yet, we're not here today to get my perspective or your perspective, okay? We're here to get God's. That's why you come to church. And God's perspective is found in the Bible. And God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He says everyone needs forgiveness, you see. All of us need forgiveness from sin. All of us need forgiveness from sin's penalty. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God says, "I don't want you to suffer the penalty of that sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But I have a gift for you, and that gift is eternal life." And notice what it says there in verse 23. "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's not through a church or a catechism or a pastor or a priest or through anyone or anything other than through what Jesus Christ did on the old rugged cross. And God says, "For you, I want you to know that I have paid the price for your forgiveness. I have a provision for you. I want to forgive you for things past, present, and future. Not only does he offer the gift of forgiveness, though, but he offers the gift of restoration. God wants to restore fellowship with you. God came to us. We love him because he first loved us. God knows that we fall short of his glory, and because of his holiness, sin gets in the way. But God wants to restore us to himself. Now listen to this verse, Romans 5:10. It says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now that verse tells us that not only do we fall short of God's glory, but literally we are in an enemy position. We are literally at odds with God until we come to Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And I want you to get the picture in your mind that every one of us were alienated from God. We fell short of the glory of God. We were wounded in our sin. There was no way that we could have a relationship with God. And so Jesus came to pick us up and to give us his righteousness and to give us access to God, the Heavenly Father. He wants to pick your burdens up today. He wants to forgive your sin today. And he wants to bring you to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." You see, the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ has provided a way that we might come. Now, someone says, "Hey, Pastor Chappell, you got to realize we live in a very ecumenical, pluralistic society, and what you're saying today, it's a little bit narrow." But listen, friend, what I'm telling you today is right from the Bible. This is God's message. His message is that his Son paid the price. And Jesus Christ, having shed his blood for our sin, is the way for atonement, is the way for restoration back with our Heavenly Father. We can be restored to God, and we can be restored to God only through Jesus Christ. Remember what the Bible says in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It didn't say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David an educator or a politician or a king or an economist." Listen, if our greatest need would have been financial, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been political, God would have sent maybe some politician. If our greatest need would have been health needs, then God would have sent a medical doctor. But listen, our greatest need was redemption. And so God sent a Savior. And that Savior was his only Son. That's why Jesus came. He came so that we might have redemption, that we might have restoration with God the Father. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." Catch this. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, we're not here today to point you to this church. We're not here today to point you to religion. You are not going to have peace with God through a religion. But you can have peace with God. You can have enduring freedom through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, let's get a picture of it today. I want you to realize that sin separates us from God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And here we are as a human race separated from a holy God. There's no way that we can make it. Now, people try different ways. Some people, for example, they'll try to maybe get into a church, and they'll say, "Okay, if I join that church, then I'm attached to a church, and that way I'll get up there with God someday." Or they'll try to get baptized in the church or whatever, and they'll say, "The church, that's surely the way to God." And they wouldn't even think of dying without being in a church somehow, and so they trust in their church. Some people trust in good works. Some people say, "Well, I think it'll be like this. When I get up before God, if my good outweighs the bad, then as long as I've done enough good, then surely he'll let me in." And again, that's perfect human rationalism, but it is not God's plan. It's sort of like going out on the basketball court and saying, "I'm just going to carry the basketball while I walk around." Someone's going to say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's not how you do it. You have to bounce it. You can't carry it, okay?" And now Shaq can, okay? He's big enough, but you can't, all right? We've got to dribble that ball around, or we're going to have someone blow the whistle. We can't just, as people want to do, you know, they don't like organized religion, as they call it, so they're just going to kind of make up their own rules about God. My friend, when it comes to knowing God, he's already revealed the way to know himself. And so God says, "If you want a relationship with me, I've provided a way for that to happen, and that way is Jesus Christ." And God says, "If you'll step out by faith and put your total trust in my son Jesus, and if you'll believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood for you personally, for your sin, that when you'll step out and put your faith on him, then you can have a relationship with God in heaven for all of eternity. And so the provision of this enduring freedom is that our sins are forgiven and we're brought back to God. We are reconciled to God. So the price of enduring freedom, the price was the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross. And the provision of enduring freedom is forgiveness and eternal life with Jesus. And then I want you to see finally this morning the place of enduring freedom. The place of enduring freedom. Now, the Bible said a moment ago that the Son will make us free indeed. How does that happen? Where does this freedom begin? Someone says, where do I got to go to get this stuff? Where do I got to go to make sure my sins are forgiven? Well, I want to tell you, first of all, the place where it's going to begin is when you have faith in your heart in Jesus Christ alone. Look at the verse there, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God says when you begin to realize that as a sinner you fall short, and that Jesus is the one who paid for your sin and he wants to bring you back to God. And when you from your heart put your faith in Jesus Christ, then from that place you begin to experience enduring freedom. Now, faith is a gift of God, but it must be used. I mean, the air is a gift from God, but it must be breathed. And bread is a gift from God, but it must be eaten. So faith is a gift from God, but we must express that faith by trusting in Jesus Christ. And here's how it works. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So right now, today, you're hearing the Word of God. In fact, you see, I don't like one joke he said. I don't like a lot of things this man says. All right? Just put it all aside and focus on the 20 or 25 verses you've heard in the last 15 minutes. And with those verses as the platform, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as you're hearing that Jesus Christ died, as you're hearing that he provides peace and forgiveness, from hearing this, from this platform, you can put faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, we can't always trust men's words. I realize that. We've seen so many illustrations of that recently. And the fact of the matter is that we don't want to put our faith in something that's printed in New York City or something that's published by some human organization. We want to put our faith in an eternal preserved message that God gave to his apostles and canonized and kept alive for us even to this day right now, the Word of God. I don't want to put my faith when it comes to my soul in some guy's thought or even some church's philosophy. I had a friend of mine, we were traveling some years ago, and we were preaching for some missionaries that we support as a church over in Asia. We'd gone to Thailand and we had preached there in some different revival type meetings. And as we were leaving that morning to go to Singapore where we would speak next, we came out of the hotel and we were walking down the street to get a cab. And as we came out and began to walk down the sidewalk, this guy walked up to me with a briefcase. He opened it up. He goes, "Want to buy a watch?" And I said, "No, I don't have time. We got to go." And I kind of had my thoughts about his watches, you know, but my friend that was with me, Jim, he starts looking at these watches. The guy goes, "Man, these are genuine. These watches," and my friend Jim goes, "Hey, there's a Rolex in here." And I said, "Well, come on, Jim, we got to catch a plane. I'm going to the car," and he's over here, man, he's giving the money. He is so proud of this watch. You know, we get to the airport, he's looking at, see what time it is every few minutes, and telling me, "Man, it costs five, I got a Rolex for $5. I knew there were bargains over here, but man, I didn't know they were this good." We got on the plane, and we were traveling along, and I just began to have some fun with him. He was sitting a seat or two behind me, and I said, "Hey, Jim, what time is it?" He goes, 10 o'clock. I go, "All right, good." A little while later, 10 or 15 minutes later, I go, "Hey, Jim, what time is it?" He goes, 10 o'clock. A little while later, I said again, "Hey, Jim, what time is it?" He goes, "Shut up." He had put his confidence in man's word. Now listen, folks, most of you think about retirement, 401ks, life insurance. Some of you even have a will. Why aren't we thinking about enduring freedom? And who are you trusting in for these things? Jesus said, I'll give you the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is in your notes, and it says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Someone says, I don't want you telling me what I must do. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just reading the Bible this morning, okay? And the Bible says there's not another name available whereby we must be saved. And that name is not Baptist. That name is not Catholic. That name is not Protestant. That name is the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. You see, faith in the heart is where it all begins. And we've got to come to that place where we say, okay, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. As a man separated from God, I see the crosses there, and that's one thing. And a lot of people wear crosses, look at crosses, some people pray to crosses. But wait a minute. It's more than that. It's putting your total faith in the work of that cross. It's saying, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ and what He did to get me to God. And when someone says, how do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Because I have put my faith completely in Jesus Christ. Not Jesus in a church or Jesus in some man's word, but in Jesus Christ alone. Now, is that not what one of the thieves on the cross did? You remember when Jesus died on the cross, there was a thief on either side. One man was very belligerent and sarcastic, and he said, if you're the Son of God, then get us down from here. The other thief said, Lord, remember me in paradise. You remember that? Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What was the difference? One man put his faith in Christ, one man didn't. And you see, the fact of the matter is that faith in the heart is where enduring freedom begins. Just putting our trust in Jesus Christ. And faith in the heart is where it begins. And notice where it concludes. Notice this, eternity in heaven. Eternity in heaven. Now, sometimes I ask people, do you believe that heaven will be your home for all of eternity? And they'll say, I hope so, I think so, I'm not sure. And that's okay. That's why we're here, to see what the Bible says. And I want you to see it, and we're almost done. 1 John 5:13. Notice it if you will. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word say there? Know that you have eternal life. You can walk out of here today knowing that. You can know that you have eternal life. Jesus said in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, I know sometimes we talk about heaven and eternal life and it makes people feel a little awkward. I heard of a Sunday school teacher that was teaching about heaven. She was really excited about it. She's telling the kids about heaven and being with Jesus and these things. And she said, how many of you would like to go to heaven? And all the kids raised up their hands except one little boy, Johnny. He did not raise his hand. And the teacher said, now, Johnny, why didn't you raise your hand? And he said, well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Spellman, but my mom told me to come home immediately after Sunday school today. Now, folks, we're not getting up a plane load for today, okay? But we're just saying, since we make preparations for other things, don't you think it would be important to make sure that from the Bible you know that one day you'll have enduring freedom for all of eternity? That one day you would be with Christ for all of eternity? You see, God loves you, and God sent His Son to say to you, come home. Come home. Jesus says, the Father really loves you. He wants you to come home. Don't wait another moment. If what I'm preaching to you this morning is true, and I believe it is, the greatest homecoming we'll ever experience is when we enter into God's presence.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. Or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.